has taken enough of America's evil. So death is sweeter to some than continuing to live under white supremacy and under tyranny. So no, I don't care nothing about them investigating me or arresting me or even killing me. But I tell you what, I'll give you a little warning. You kill your last man when you kill Dr. King. You will not get that chance to do that to me. And if it pleases God that you do kill me right after you kill me, all of you gonna die. Because I'm not here by myself. I'm not here of myself. You can see that God must be backing me. Otherwise, where would I get the strength to say and do what I do? No, man, it's our time now.
God has sent me to make you all feel the wrath and cometh. I'm here to heat up and beat the street up. I'm back to punish. While Trump is present with a mouth screaming louder than trumpets, while you bow to the puppets, I'ma stand and stick around for the judgment. Use the world stage with the God crown and put it down for the public. The earth's in pain with a lost pound of demonic indulgence. These devil consultants, while I squeeze wine, I remind you of the culprits. Kind of impulsive to expose them through rhymes that I publish. It's kind of disruptive when I talk now. Line up the subjects, I'm tired of injustice from the post politicians and judges. When you witness the abuse of power, sometimes it's seductive. Then I question God, why create a creature that is so destructive? Hold all your grudges and focus while you create expenses. Every man is free of choice, but no man is free of consequences. Hold your suggestions and listen closely. I study lessons causing rain, hail, snow, and earthquake and travel dimensions. The ground will rattle, the earth will rumble like a stampede of cattle. 1120 feet per second faster than sound travel. How many more protests? How many more marches? Zero results are so grotesque. Don't even get me started to calm on my mama, she knows best. Fight for the daily departed, God is the armor, we so blessed. Let's zoom in on the target, from a certificate of merit down to a felony. For one's actions and deeds, justice is the reward or penalty. Your pants too tight, nigga, it's been part of the plan, fool. They fucked around and made the demasculization a man cold. I appreciate my pop, never stopped to the death of me. He raised this to be men and I'll never disgrace our legacy. Fuck following trends that don't make us men is the recipe. To care for your woman, your mother, and children is necessity. In the last couple of years, you niggas look like you need therapy. Mentally, it appears as if the imbalance is chemically. How you gonna try to stop God's work? It can never happen even after I'm back in the Lord's dirt. I'm here to present the impact of the extinction level event. Two, I'm only here to present and bring the impact of the extinction level event. Two.
You guys feel that Buster energy? That 5%er, that Nation of Islam, that Farrakhan speech. Bless, beautiful people. Welcome to the Empower Hour on CKUT 90.3 FM. On our new slot every Thursday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and available on Facebook at MTL Empower Hour. For the next 2 hours, the squad's going to entertain, enlighten, and empower y'all. My name is Thierry Lindor. Lindor like the chocolate. And this morning, as always, I'm joined by my partner in light, Trish and Pharaoh. How y'all doing?
Woo! We are good this Thursday morning.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Before we do anything else, like every show, if you are used to it, you know what's up. And if you're not, guess what? We're about to bless yo. Beep. I'm going to pass the mic to our chief enlightening officer. Yes, our CEO, our chief enlightenment officer, in order to bless this show and our queens and kings listening. Pharaoh, the floor is yours.
Blessings, blessings, grand rising, everybody. I am grateful to life, grateful to God, our creator, and to the ancestors just for being present here with us today. And I just ask that today's show, let it be very empowering, let it be very uplifting, let it be educational and inspiring. And just keep everybody where they are in peace, love, and harmony. Hotep, amen, ashe.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Trish, how are you doing, Queen?
I'm good. I mean, my week has been quiet. Normally I have some crazy stuff happen, but I mean, wait, one thing did happen.
Tell us.
I told off one of those scammers. You know those scammers who call your phone that has the exact same, almost the same phone number
as the government?
Oh my goodness. So, you know, they say, oh, press one if you want to talk to somebody. So I'm like, ooh, I have time today. I'm going to talk to somebody. So he answered the phone and he said, oh, government something. I started to cuss. My mom's listening, so won't say what words I said. But then he told me to suck his private parts.
Oh! clap back. Shout out to the frogster. Clapping back.
And then I started laughing. I'm like, oh my God, you're being totally recorded right now. I'm like, you're going to be famous. And he said, F you. And he hung up the phone.
Wow.
Oh my God. So that was my week. That's it.
That's the most awesome. Exciting thing that happened. Farrell, what about you?
Yo, actually, I have a couple of jokes. First I have to start. I had a lit weekend. I think I had told you guys last week. Big shout out to the NBC suite because they had messed up my wife and I's anniversary, so they gave us a take two.
Hey.
And I understand they gave us a presidential suite.
We know about take twos around here.
Yo, you know, you gotta do it again. Trish, come on, man. It was I'm just saying.
Early in the morning. You guys
know about
take
two.
Trust. But yeah, no, so it was so basically I relaxed all weekend. Took it easy with the family and, you know, like, yo, just really took a take two. And so that was lit. We also took a pause to have the memorial for Brother Sheffield. So we'll talk about that a bit later on.
Yep.
But I have a quick little joke, actually. So you guys know my daughter, my latest daughter, Nzinga.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Nzinga Magnificent is actually her full name. So now, I think I reincarnated Queen Nzinga. So for those who don't know, I named my daughter after Queen Nzinga of Angola, right? So she, no joke around type of queen. She all murdered her brother because her brother was selling slaves.
Wow.
Yeah. No, she wasn't down. She wasn't down.
She wasn't having that.
Nah, she wasn't having that. She took him out. Anyway, so that's just to tell you. So quick little joke. So the other day, her older brother is 13, her older sister is 10, and they're kind of teasing her at the table, you know, doing the little tap on the shoulder.
What they do to the young kids.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm the youngest.
Tap on the shoulder, look away. Was it me? You know, so I'm like, guys, stop bothering Nzinga. She doesn't like that.
Hey.
She's like, Dad, I don't think it's enough. They should get licks. I'm like, oh.
She did not say that.
She
I don't believe you.
Said,
I do not believe.
Everybody got quiet. It was like, oh.
She knows.
She said that?
She knows that lick solves the problem. Yeah. She's seen this solve the problem before. So she said, you know what?
Yeah.
They should get licks.
That's actually cool. I like her. I like her energy.
I like her. What's her sign? She's
born August 11th. So
Leo.
Okay.
She's a lion. She don't
take that. Anyways, I was just worried for them. I was like, guys, I'm sorry. You didn't think I was going to mash you guys up.
Were you going to give them licks, though? Let me ask you that.
It wasn't licks worthy. What are you talking about? Was I going to give them licks?
Watch Batcha go after you.
Trust me. It's like, it's totally not licks worthy. And just so you guys know, licks, for those who don't, it's a tap on the bottom. All right, so tap on the bottom. According to Batcha rules, that's okay. Tap on the bottom. So that's
can
what
you
I
give
mean
people
by
what really licks is. No, stop no, that.
That is what I mean it by is. Licks. What are you talking it, about? Tap on the bottom. Trish, I don't know what you're talking about.
And for the Francophone Haitians and calottes. Calottes.
Well, would it be on my bottom? For me, my mom would slap me in my head.
Yeah.
Not
some my dad,
to me.
Too.
Exactly.
I can't even lie.
Me, I know nothing of these things. Cherry, what's new and popular on your side?
Not much. You know, working hard on a lot of things. Colors of COVID, that 221 million keeping us busy. Fun fact, though, my son's name is Shiloh. Mm-hmm. And I got Shiloh actually from the Buju Bantan till Shiloh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strange is feeding and feeding. And Shiloh comes up to me this week and he's like, Daddy, I have a big hard caca. And I was like, what does that mean, Shiloh? And what he basically mean was that he wasn't able to push it out. So I'm proud of him for being open about talking about this.
Right.
But I had to slow him down and say, Shiloh, you can't speak like that. He said, oh, what's wrong? Do I need to say that I have a soft caca? I said, no, you can't say that stuff. So Shiloh is a trip. Shout out to my son.
Yes.
Gift from God, literally.
Yeah, so cute.
You should have seen everybody. You guys can't not see us, but the minute I said the C word, they both literally went like, whoa, did he just say that just now on here? We're trying to wake y'all up.
Exactly.
Come on.
Wake up.
Yes.
Come on now.
So that's what it is. So before we dive in, I want to just give us a quick little musical break. Because, yo, that Busta. Oh,
that's
and actually,
fire.
So this morning, what we played was Busta Rhymes featuring Minister Louis Farrakhan. So that is.
Clap for that.
Yo, no. The album is bananas, guys. Just
fire.
None of this
auto-tune, purple hair, you know, pink hair and all that stuff.
We can tell what Thierry doesn't like.
That good boom bop, that old school. And you know what? I pray that the new generation discovers this OG and start to embrace. Mm-hmm. I wish he's starting something. I hope he's tipping something up and we see a shift in this. I'm not hating on the current status of rap and hip-hop.
But.
God.
Thanks. Say less. Guys, let's.
More boom bop, please.
Enjoy.
Thank us later.
Bitch, I had to bust a U. Came right back to get that loot. No, I had to finish what I started. No, it ain't too late to turn around. It's... Bitch, I had to bust a U. Came right back to get that loot. No, I had to finish what I started. No, it ain't too late to turn around.
Turn around.
Running up the numbers on the cash chase. Stretching out of the work just like elastic. Fucking with one
bitches
with a bank rope.
Why?
Her ass is fake as her eyelashes. Stepping out of the beam of dirty bands on. Passing up on them office, I don't need though. Long as I am a legend in my hometown. Respect is why I did it from the ego. Yeah, no, I can't wait today. I can't wait today. Thought I lost it all, like everything. Bitch, like everything. Came back from my bag, I'm back to play. But don't play with me. I can turn it all around today. I ain't never late, never late. I can't wait today. I can't wait today. Bitch, I need my bed like yesterday. Bitch, like yesterday.
Lord, I left a couple bags on the stand. Feeling like I owe a couple checks. Now I'm getting back like I never left. Bang a left.
Bitch, I had to bust a U. Came right back to get that loot. No, I had to finish what I started. No, it ain't too late to turn around. It's...
Come after me, no, you don't wanna do that, nigga. Do that, nigga. And I'm hoping that you all agree. You don't wanna problem, true that, nigga. True that, nigga. And I'm schooling you all just a little, probably like you was a new rap, nigga. New rap, nigga. And I'm claustrophobic a lot, and I think you better move back, nigga.
Move back now.
Please get up, wait for me. I don't really wanna talk about nothing.
Shut up, nigga.
And my money ain't what it's supposed to be. That's when a nigga gun start buzzing. Clang, 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 clang. Shells hit the floor, more shots coming. More shots coming. And instead of you trying to talk to me, motherfucker, better talk by running.
Everything about
yeah,
me.
Yeah, really.
I'm back in the
mouth
with the
had a bunch of coffee.
Best you ever saw. Every metaphor, medical. Precautions will be needed. Crazy like a pack of animal. Hope you all got a proper view. So sick, y'all need to let the doctor through. Look, yes, respect this rap. Never miss a step. Disrespect. Give a fuck about your plug. Y'all know be the plug connect.
Double, triple, check. Lord, I left a couple bags on the stand. Feeling like I owe a couple checks. Now I'm getting back like I never left. Then you left.
Bitch, I had to bust a U. Came right back to get that loot. No, I had to finish what I started. No, it ain't too late.
Hey, I'm Nani.
Welcome to the OFC Business Zone.
Black excellence at its finest.
Black Kemet gods, yeah. Black Egyptian gods, go. Summoned from heaven, blessed, dressed in only go yard, homie go hard.
Oh, as you guys just heard, it is time for the OFC Business Zone. For those who do not know, the OFC stands for One Full Circle. It is the Melanated Community Network, where we focus on bridging the gap between the French and English-speaking Melanated community, supporting, uniting, and just economically empowering our community.
I like that. Take that.
Woo! So, guys, we have a very special edition.
It's an understatement.
A very special edition of the Business Zone this morning. We have the one and only Sue Montgomery in the house. Sue, are you with us?
I am.
Woo-hoo. Hi, Sue.
Hi, thanks for having me.
It's our pleasure. Thank you so much for being on here.
It's an honor.
It's an honor to have you. So so basically, for those who do not know, maybe some people are living under a rock, can we start first by just introducing who is Sue Montgomery?
Well, since 2017, I am the mayor of Côte de Neige Indigie, which happens to be the most populous and the most diverse and the most awesome borough of all 19 boroughs in Montreal.
Amazing. Yep, definitely.
And before that, I was a journalist for 30 years.
For how long? 30
yeah,
years?
30.
Wow.
Yeah. I started in 1986. And then I left journalism in 2015 and decided to go into politics in 2017 and try to make a difference there.
Was it your first time winning, Sue? Was it your first time running and you went one for one? Or because you said 2015 you went into politics.
Yeah, in 2015, I threw my hat in the ring for the nomination for the NDP in our riding, but I didn't win the nomination. There were eight of us in the nomination. I came second. But it was kind of a blessing in disguise because that was the year the NDP kind of crashed and burned.
Collapsed.
With Mulcair, yeah.
Literally.
So it was a good experience. I learned a lot.
Would you say that the best deals you make are the ones you don't?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. Maybe. Yeah. You look back on these things and you say, yeah, that was good that I didn't win. So then I was working for the inquiry into missing and murdered Indigenous women and girls in 2017 when Valerie Plante approached me. She asked me to go out for coffee. We had never met before. Mm. So we went really early, and it was kind of funny because I, at the last minute, like I said to my husband, I don't think I'm going to go. Like, I know what she's going to ask me. She's going to ask me to run, and I don't think I want to do that. And he said, just go meet her. You'll never know what these things lead to. So I blame him.
And how did you feel being in such a diverse area, let's call a spade a spade, you are a Caucasian woman,
mm-hmm.
and you're literally the first lady of arguably the most diverse neighborhood in all of Canada.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How did you apprehend this when she actually came up to you and approached you? Did you say to yourself, I can't win this borough, I don't feel legitimate? Like, was there any feeling of not being up to the challenge, or that never crossed
your mind? Just said to her, like, she said, we want you to be the mayor of, or run to be mayor of Côte d'Ivoire, and I said, do you know me? Like, I'm really,
that's hilarious.
I said, I'm not a politician. Like, I speak my mind. I don't talk in babbly gook.
That's it.
You're an activist. You're an activist.
A real activist.
You do things for real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said, I won't be muzzled. And she said,
good for you.
Oh, no, that's why we want you. We want you. We like your outspokenness and stuff. But then as soon as I got elected, that was, the muzzle went on.
They like you until you speak your truth too much.
Yeah. Well, because I was really speaking out and going to the demos against Bill 21, I was enraged.
That's it.
About that. And, I'd be the only Pujol Montréal person often at these demos, and
that's appalling.
Out.
That's crazy. I can't even understand how. Anyways, for that alone, I know. I've never had the pleasure to meet you, but I met you through a group of activists that I knew that were like, Sue Montgomery is the real deal. Mm-hmm. She speaks her truth and does not let anybody. And do you think that's an advantage in politics in 2020, or that's a disadvantage being that straightforward?
Well, I mean, it depends what you say being straightforward. If you look at Trump, I mean, he would say he won't be muzzled either, right?
Right.
So you can be unmuzzled and say really stupid, horrible things like him, or you can just call truth to power and speak out that way, which is what I think I do. You make enemies for sure, but I'm not here to please everybody, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
And I have to say, because when you and I had an opportunity to talk, you actually brought me up to speed on a couple of things that I guess I was also living under a rock. So back at the beginning of the year, you did have an issue where is why you're no longer with Valerie Plante. So that's for those who might not know, if you could just enlighten the listeners.
Right? Break down that story.
Yeah, sure. So last year, I hired a new chief of staff, a young woman who's incredibly talented and smart, and seriously, like, I've never met anyone like her. So she was exactly what I needed in our office. And the two of us were having some doubts and some serious questions about the borough director. So we brought a file full of things, concerns, as well as a list of employees, that good employees we had lost from the borough because of this person. So we brought that to the Controller General. He said, okay, that, you know, he listened to us or pretended to listen to us and said, okay, we'll take this. I'll conduct an investigation.
Investigation.
Quote. Yeah, yeah.
Quotation
mark. Yeah, quote, yeah, air quotes. And, you know, we both participated in this investigation. We were interviewed by the so-called investigators, you know, on with the assumption that this was an investigation into the borough director. So then in come December, they called me in, and ironically, it was December 6th, the 30th anniversary of the Polytechnique, the massacre of all those women. And they called me in and they said, our conclusion is your chief of staff has been harassing this, the borough director. And I was just like, what? I said, this is the first I hear of that. Nobody's ever complained to me about her. Nobody has filed an official complaint. And I said, this is, you know what you're doing here. You're just protecting a very senior bureaucrat. And I'm not going to stand for this.
I walked out. It's as if you call, you go to the garage for an oil change, and it tells you your brakes are done.
Mm-hmm. And you're like, what?
That's not why I'm here to talk to you.
No, that's nuts.
That's right. So then Valerie told me, you know, I can't have an accusation of psychological harassment on my clock.
Really?
You have to fire her. And I said, but I haven't seen any evidence. There's been no due process.
Wait. They didn't show you the evidence of what they claimed?
No.
That's crazy.
How does that make any sense?
They just read me the conclusion. But one of the things was that one of the questions the investigator asked my chief of staff was, why don't you smile more?
Oh,
and
who cares?
You're kind of cold.
Wow. You're kind of cold.
They would never say that to a man.
Of course not.
Wow. So Valerie said, you have to fire her. I said, no, I'm not going to do that. This is she goes, I can't have psychological harassment on my watch. I said, but there's no proof of that.
Exactly.
And we're talking about a person's life here.
Correct.
Like, I'm not going to do that. Mm. It's illegal to fire someone without due process, and I won't do it.
And it's their character. It's an attack on their character
She said, if you don't, I will kick you out of the party. I don't
want
to do that.
She did not say that.
Yeah. And I said, I just looked at her and shrugged my shoulders, like, okay, whatever, do what you have to do. But I'm not doing something illegal. And she even told me she knew that this report was bullshit and that
this sounds like House of Cards.
It's nuts.
And I said to her, I said, have you read this report? And she said, no, I'm not allowed to. It's confidential. I said, you're the mayor.
Wow.
Like, you can do whatever you want.
But if I play devil's advocate here, isn't it that the Controller General is almost not above the mayor, but in essence that the report itself, or at least the content of the report, my understanding of the Controller General is that there has to be this kind of distance between the mayor for them not to be able to impact their decision. Am I completely off?
Well, I think that's more the Inspector General, right, that oversees like finances and stuff.
Gotcha.
But this is the Controller General. I'm not sure what he does, but he thinks he's Napoleon. But anyway, so he and in fact, the policy says that any kind of complaint like this, the designated authority has to read it. So the person who's a designated authority to me would be Valerie, and I would be the designated authority to my chief of staff, which is exactly what the Superior Court said in July when we brought this before the court.
Also, there is jurisprudence regarding this.
Well, it's right in their policy. City's policy. So in the court case in July, the city lawyer, the judge said, well, why hasn't the mayor seen this, the Mayor Montgomery? They said, well, she's actually complicit. Like, she's been willfully blind to this harassment. Wow. And he said, well, she's willfully blind. Like, she's blind because you've made her blind. Wow. You haven't shown her the report.
Oh, that's actually good for you, for your case.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, how is she supposed to fix behavior something if she doesn't know what that behavior is?
Ooh, I like
to begin
that.
With.
Right. I like that.
And so we're waiting for the final judgment from the judge. It's supposed to come out any day now, and I'm sure it's going to be in our favor.
Mm-hmm. You're confident.
Good.
Yes, I'm very confident.
And you know what, Sue? I have a segue towards that because I remember Valerie Plante running her campaign saying, I am not Denis Coderre. Mm. Things will not run like Denis Coderre. Correct me if I'm wrong, but this feels like, and I'm not saying that's how Denis Coderre ran his office. I happen to not know Denis that well. I've met him before. Uh-huh. I think he's a great guy. He's a funny guy. He's very charismatic. But the accusation she was putting on him, allegedly, was that those are the things he would have done. Now,
she was going to do politics differently, mm-hmm. and that's one of the reasons I agreed to go with her. But she's kicked out three women now from the party.
That's insane.
Wow. Okay.
And none of us have done anything as bad as Benoit Doré, who has driven at 170 kilometers an hour. He's broken the law, and he's put people's lives in danger, but he's still in the party.
Mm. So do you think there is a double standard?
This is a mayor that claims to be a feminist, and in fact, she should have defended me like I'm defending my chief of staff.
And if I had to ask you a question, it's a tough question potentially because I think you would make a potentially great mayor of Montreal, in my opinion. Great first lady of Montreal.
Hello, Anglophone.
Hello. That's another debate. That's another call for another day. Yeah. But if you had to pick between Valérie Plante or Mayor Denis Coderre, let's say, you know, if we hypothetically spoke here, like, which one would you go for?
Well, I don't like Denis Coderre because I was in Haiti during the 2004 coup d'etat. With Aristide, in which Canada, France, and the United States basically kidnapped the first democratically elected president of that country and took him out and dumped him into the Central African Republic.
What?
And Denis Coderre was there, and I interviewed the rebels, and they told me that they had been helped by Coderre. And at first, when he was the minister of Francophonie at the time, federally, and when he arrived, he was like, oh, these rebels that are approaching, they're terrorists, they're this, they're that, we're going to stop them. And then the next day, they became, you know, he called them freedom fighters.
Wow.
So, I think so he's got Haitian blood on his hands, and I can't forgive him for that because Haiti is a country very close to my heart. And,
so you were a journalist at the time because, again, this is you know, obviously these are interviews that you've conducted, and I guess you've written about this publicly, right?
Yep.
And what was the repercussion at the time? Because if I'm putting myself in his shoes, he must have seen the article. What was his position at that time regarding your article? Did he ever bring it up publicly?
No, and when he was running for mayor, I brought it up, and I asked the question, and of course it was just like brushed aside. And you know, Montrealers don't care, right? Like what he did in Haiti, like they could care less.
I think the Haitian community would care.
But a lot of the Haitian community that is here are not Aristide supporters, right?
Nice.
I mean, you know, there's the more, it's a very divided population. So a lot of them bought that propaganda that Aristide was not democratically elected, but that's just not true.
So between the two, you'd go with Plante then if that was the case.
Well, I'm sure there's going to be others, isn't there?
between the two options, none of those two.
She's waiting for somebody else.
Exactly.
No, but listen.
A third one.
You know, like I did run on the Projet Montréal platform.
Mm-hmm.
I do, you know, I obviously, my values haven't changed. I am more, you know, I do want more green space. I do want more bike paths. I do believe in active transport and increasing public transit, because we can't keep adding cars to our roads. We just can't. And climate change is, you know, fast killing us. I mean, when's the last time we had a 20-degree day in November?
In my dream, every day.
In my dreams, every day.
For sure, for
but
sure.
You
I'm
know,
joking.
Like you said a couple of things, and I want to actually give you the opportunity to talk about what you're doing right now, but just to speak to what you've been through, because as I want the community to really understand, like, you're dealing with, like, the corruption inside. Now, for us, who's on the outside.
Correct.
It's like we don't have a chance then.
Right.
If basically, if you know, like, if that's what's happening to you and you're right,
as a seasoned, yeah.
Like.
Well, that's why I'm going to court over it, and that's why I won't back down.
Good for you.
They keep throwing things at me, hoping I'll back down. Mm-hmm. Right, like they went to the commission, the Quebec Municipal Commission that oversees all the elected officials. And, you know, they've filed all kinds of accusations against me. But the commission is working in cahoots with the city.
Really?
So, oh, yeah, for sure.
Who's that? Give me some names. No, I'm joking.
Yeah. So my lawyer has filed a motion to have those accusations, whatever they are, thrown out of court. Because, you know, in working together with the city, the CMQ has already displayed that they aren't
biased.
Neutral.
Yeah, they cannot be.
That they are doing what the city is getting them to do. And so I'm pretty sure those will be thrown out too. But, you know, they just keep throwing things at me. They're like, okay, they're just trying to wear me down.
Yeah, exactly. Financially, emotionally, and psychologically.
So once again, they don't really know me.
Talk about it.
She don't remember that coffee date that you guys went on, Sue. And let me ask you this. What frustrates me as a citizen and taxpaying citizen, I pay a lot of taxes in this city, is that she's using our taxpaying dollars to go after you on what seems
That's
to be
right.
building bogus allegations.
And the opposition always says, oh, Sue Montgomery's spending so much money on lawyers. Well, I wasn't until
I got attacked. Exactly.
I took them to court first, and I had to pay my own fees.
That's
then.
It.
But then they turned around and counterattacked. So the law is that if the city has to pay for my legal fees
that's,
if they go after
the law,
me.
That's the law.
Because I'm an elected official.
Correct.
So I can't stand this narrative that I'm wasting taxpayers' money. I'd like to know how much they're paying. And in fact, they're not even using in-house lawyers on my case. They have hired outside lawyers.
Oh, wow.
Probably. I suspect because the inside lawyers say,
I can't win this.
Wrong.
Yeah.
You guys are wrong.
Right. So now,
what's the solution, though? I heard you're starting a party.
That's it.
Yes. Yes. So next year, next November, we're a year away from the next election. And I've decided to start my own party for Côte des Neiges NDG. I'm going to run as mayor, and then I'm going to have five candidates in each of the five districts of our borough. And I'm
any
looking
black ones?
To I want I believe me
hey.
I would love a rainbow. I want a rainbow.
That's what we're talking about.
No need for rainbows, just black ones.
Okay.
I'm into balance. No, just make it a rainbow.
Yeah, because I really like right now, forget about city council, which is really white. Mm-hmm. We have borough council that is all white.
Yeah.
And it bothers me. It really bothers me. And because it doesn't reflect our borough at all. Mm-hmm. And you know what it's like if you don't see yourself represented somewhere, then you're not going to get involved. Like you feel on the outside, right? It was like when women weren't represented anywhere, women. I never was interested in politics because I
Correct.
Couldn't relate mm-hmm. to anybody,
Good point.
Right?
Can't be
like they weren't
see.
Talking about issues that were important to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So now that we have more women, now the next step is definitely, Yeah, like a mix of whoever, you know, like as long as you're not white.
So what are you promising to people? So like what's going to be different with you?
Well, the thing is I'm not, after my experience with Proje Montréal, I'm not crazy about party politics, but I had to register as a party with the Quebec government just in order to be able to fundraise.
That's the law. Yeah.
So I just needed 100 signatures, but I'm not signing up members. Mm-hmm. And we're starting this week having discussions about what our values are, because I don't want to set the platform until we figure out, like, what is the groundwork?
That's, you know,
what do we stand for? What do we believe in? Mm-hmm. You know, I know that I believe in integrity, transparency, accountability, but maybe, you know, what I believe that means something else to someone else. So mm-hmm. I want us to have that discussion. Like, what does integrity mean to you? What does accountability mean to you? And, you know, we'll see what other people bring to the table in terms of their values. So I've invited people from across the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Can we say that?
Anybody we know?
Denver Creed, I think, is coming.
Hey, Denver. Clap it up for Denver Creed.
Berkey.
Yeah. Legend Berkey.
Yeah. Okay.
Berkey,
biggest
yeah.
small guy I've ever met. Sue,
so
don't
wonderful.
Laugh.
I know, he's sweet.
He's sweet.
I'm trying to think who else has come. I can't think right now. But anyway, we're reaching out to as many people. But it's hard. It's hard because a lot of... a lot of people in our borough are new immigrants. Mm-hmm. So they're just basically trying to make ends meet, and it's all they can do to get food on the table. I just came from Multipack today. I was volunteering there today, mm-hmm. and it's incredible, like, how many meals and how many food baskets and so on that they give out all the time, you know, because of this COVID. And it's really hitting lower socioeconomic people the worst, people of color, people, you know, that newcomers to Canada who may not have French or English. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these families live in small apartments. And a lot of the like Filipinos, for example, work in the healthcare system, as do a lot of nurses from the islands, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
They are more at risk at bringing this home and then in turn spreading it to large portions of their family because they live in such close quarters. So it's hard to reach these families, which I understand, right? Like, they've got enough on their plate.
Yeah.
But at least through platforms like this, people could hear what's going on, because that's the idea of being able to come on. And, like, so even if you can't reach them directly through the joys of radio, we'll get more people involved.
So do you have any names of anyone you could think of that you wanted to join your team, join your party?
Because you talked about Denberg, but I'm sure you have other names.
Other
superstars.
Names.
Well, superstars,
melanin-powered
people.
I don't want to put people on the spot because I'm in discussions with some
of them.
So I don't want to put any pressure on them.
Okay, so let me reframe the question.
Anything you want to put out in the universe?
Who would you feel would make a good... a good opposition,
right,
if you saw them with other parties from the black community in Montreal? Like, who would you say, oof, this is going to be a tough one?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Sue. I know you have them.
I know. It's hard. Well, you know Andrea Clark.
There you go.
Yeah.
Andrea's solid.
Yes, she is.
Yeah, she's at Concordia now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she would be good. I don't know if Denberg, you know, we'll see where he's coming from.
But winning in politics for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
I have a couple of Filipino women that I'm wooing.
Okay.
But it's hard, right, to get, especially women, because they see how ugly it is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, every council meeting, it's like a 4-hour bully session where I have to just not engage. Like, I'm not going to take the bait.
Speaking of women in politics, we just saw in the United States that the black vote basically got Donald Trump. Well, more precisely, black women. Let's clap it up for black women.
Yeah.
Always. Basically came through and got Donald Trump out How important do you think the black vote is going to be for Montreal's mayorship next year? How important do you think that can that black vote sway the Montreal first lady's first gentleman
position? Well, first of all, the big problem at municipal level, like we get maybe 30-35% turnout. So that's a big problem.
Yeah.
Because people don't think their vote matters, but as we saw in the States, it does. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, this is the level of government that has the most, impacts you the most, has the most impact in your life immediately, right? It's your garbage, it's your recycling, it's your parks,
it's your daily lives,
So, you know, this is, and you can reach your counselor, or your mayor easier than you can your MP or MNA.
Proximity politics.
So, pardon?
Proximity politics.
But, yeah, exactly. So, you know, so that's going to be a big thing. But I think with the public consultations we had on systemic racism, I think that's going to play a big role. And Projet Montréal, of course, has announced that they're making, they're going to make a real effort to have, to mix up council.
Nah, we've been done that already.
But you know what that requires? It requires the white dude stepping aside.
Hey, well said, Sue.
Like Mr. Rochon, who's been there for 38 years, and he will be the first one to criticize city council for being so white. But it's like, have you looked in the mirror lately, Marvin?
Unbelievable.
Like, you're a white dude. So he needs to, those guys need to step aside and use their influence and their network to get other people elected who don't have that network, right? Who don't have that voice or influence. Like, if someone, you know, and I would do that too. Like, if someone came along and wanted to run for mayor, and if we thought that it could happen with my influence, then I would step aside. Absolutely.
See, and you're a person of action, and I have
integrity
to say,
integrity too.
That's what I, and like as we're wrapping up now, the everything that I've heard you say, the things I have seen, you're beyond just the words. And we talk about this all the time, that action speaks louder than words. When I look at the our current mayor and the things that she has said compared to what she has done, we definitely change. Now, we understand you're running for NDG. So that's, you know, and I definitely want the community to be able to support. I feel that you will inspire others. I want to definitely encourage you to continue to press on. For those who want to be able to support and get involved, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, I'm all over social media. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. I have a mayor's page on Facebook. And my private email is montgomery.sue@gmail.com. Pretty straightforward, and I try to respond to everyone who reaches out. I don't always, you know, sometimes these things fall through the cracks, but if I don't respond in a few days, then send me another message. Because sometimes I miss things.
It's just normal. If you want to, I don't know if you want to leave the people any final words as we close
wrap this up.
Well, I really, really encourage people to get involved, because your voice does matter. Mm. Your voice does count. And, you know, no one's going to hand you power. You got to take it.
Hey.
You just go for it.
You sound like Farrakhan right now. That's awesome. No one has to. I like that. You got to take it.
Yeah, just take it. I always say, I'm no longer accepting the things I cannot change. I'm changing the things I cannot accept. And of course, that's a quote from a very famous poet. But, you know, instead of sitting around complaining about stuff, we have to take power, because we saw what happened south of the border. If you don't,
talk about,
you know, we're going to end up with whack jobs in Austin. Believe me.
Sue, thank you so much for being with us this morning on the Empower Hour. I'm wishing you
super
success.
Thank you, Sue.
My pleasure. You're always you're a friend of the show, and you're welcome to come on back whenever.
Stay blessed. Have a good one.
Stay well.
Awesome. Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye.
This was actually something else for an interview. Ladies and gentlemen, let's put out a disclaimer. The Empower Hour. Welcome to the OFC community
does... updates. Oh, sorry.
Farrah, what are you doing?
There's a lot going on right now. That shouldn't be going on.
Farrah, you're going to be like Donald Trump. You're fine.
No, trust me. Segway. Okay, go ahead. Run through. Yes.
I just want to put out a disclaimer. And Trish and Farrah, I think you could both agree with me on this one.
Okay.
The Empower Hour, by no means, by no way, shape, or form, actually has any facts or proof in regards to the allegations that Sue made regarding Denis Coderre. So we're not saying it's true. We're not saying it's false. She used to be a journalist. She investigated it. She got her sources. She published something. Logically, some editor at the Gazette thought that it was well worth as being newsworthy, and she touched on it. So we just wanted to put that out there, because in this day and age with people saying, oh, fake news, I heard on this, I heard on that.
Yeah.
We are not about that life. We're thankful for the interview, but we just wanted to put that out there.
And we encourage everybody to go check it out. Do the research. We're here to empower you, to provide the information. You guys just you
ask
know what
questions.
To do.
Yeah, always.
So as you guys heard, as I was dropping the intro on Thierry's
disclaimer. His disclaimer.
We're diving right into the community updates. You guys already know.
This is
the OFC community updates, where we bring you the past, the present, and the future community news. Again, for those who do not know, OFC stands for One Full Circle, the Melanated Community Network. And as I abbreviate it, we're basically here to support, unite, and economically empower. You guys already know what time it is. So first, I had mentioned it just quickly at the top of the show. We had this past weekend, we had a memorial for Brother Sheffield Matthews. So
rest in power, King.
Rest in superpower. For those who do not know, just very quick context.
Who is Sheffield Matthews?
Sheffield Matthews was a brother from NDG. He was suffering from mental health, as they said. He was in a crisis. I shouldn't even say mental health. He was a brother in crisis.
Said.
And this was about 10 days ago. It was a couple of weeks ago, Thursday. And there was a call made to 911. It was about 6 a.m. The police showed up. They said that he had a knife. He approached them, but they were in the car, so they were okay.
A knife, not a katana.
No, a knife, yeah. And then he was approaching other people in a car, and when who they were also in a car, windows up. And when the police saw that, they had no other choice but to get out of their cars and shoot him.
So they say.
So they say, allegedly. So.
And you spoke to the chief. Why? Because you got that plug.
Well, you know how it is.
Like, talk that talk.
So I got a call directly because it was kind of gross at the time, in my opinion, because they were doing damage control. Really? Like, I found out directly from them before
social media.
That's just tell you. Like, before anybody, it was weird, right? So I get this call and they tell me, okay, we did this. And I was like, just bringing it forward. Okay, we did this. And then when I spoke to other community leaders and community builders, I came to find out that other police departments were doing this. So it's like they spoke together, damage control. They're like, we might have a riot on our hands. Let's just make sure that, you know, we're appeasing the people. Big poppy show, long story short. We won't super dive into it because it was like super annoying. It's even annoying to think about and talk about.
Yeah.
But they explained why they couldn't shoot him in the arm and the leg. So for those who are questioning,
tell them, Farrah.
It's they're trained to shoot the biggest part of the body because cops get scared too, according to what the detective said. So cops get scared too, and what happens is that they can't see, they can't hear, so they're trained to aim at the largest part of the body, which is the chest. Why they didn't
the
use
largest a, black part of the body?
Thank you. Why they didn't use a taser? They didn't have any. Just come sell.
Of course not.
No, but taser. Geez, it comes sell. Yep.
Cameras and tasers are optional on black bodies.
Right. Yep. They couldn't use rubber bullets. They didn't have any.
Optional on black bodies.
Yeah. Okay. No. And actually going to the taser part, they're like, oh, and some people don't want tasers. I was like, who said that? Who said they would prefer to get shot over tased? Who said that? Because I know I didn't say that. I'm sorry. Anyways, the point is.
The audacity.
Yes.
We're just, you know, so we're going to move forward. So we had this conversation and they really just blew our minds. I have to say, our own Sheffield Matthews has become our George Floyd.
Because
as a result of that shooting, there's been a collective of about 90 organizations that we've had. We had an email thread we've been discussing collectively. We had a meeting even last week, Thursday, on what are we going to do collectively to empower our community. So I want the community at large to just rest assured knowing that we're working as a collective. And what we see as one of the priorities right now is intervention, is basically an intermediate between the police and our community.
Correct.
So we're blessed to have Michael Smith, who's a former president of the Jamaica Association, who used to be a liaison for the police and the community. And it was a program that worked very well. He couldn't even explain why they stopped it. He was like, he diffused so many situations that could have went lethal, and they stopped it. And they made it an internal thing instead of engaging community. But anyways, that's not what we're here for. We're gonna dive into all of that.
Wow.
So that's what we're actively working on, just to be able to create that and enforce that. Because right now, guys, as we just heard Sue Montgomery explaining, it's a dirty game out there.
You know what I mean? It's like, hard in these streets. You know. And there was a march this weekend. Was that your initiative?
It wasn't us. No. So that was Black Lives Matter.
Black Lives what?
That's it. I think we have Black Lives Matter Montreal.
Wait a second. Okay. We have a Black Lives Matter chapter in Montreal?
Yeah, we're going to say, yeah.
Is it a real Black Lives Matter?
Yeah, like who's running that?
I don't, like, you guys are asking too many questions. What is it, interrogation, guys?
No,
like,
I'm just saying.
I don't know, guys.
Okay.
Is it like the Nike switch on the other side when you go to Morocco? Switched up Nike sign?
I came to find
out. Is it a real Black Lives Matter?
Yeah.
I was not aware of the march. Just to tell you, I'm very connected within our community. I like to say people do call me. I get messages.
You got zero calls?
Zero calls. I had no idea it was happening. I just found out kind of while we were setting up to do the memorial.
How many people showed up?
I couldn't tell you. I know Sue was there. Big shout out to Sue. She was there. She supported.
Because I know that when you organized the march, which I attended.
Yeah.
There was 100,000 people. Clap for the 100,000.
Yay.
I'm not making this into a competition. I'm just saying.
Facts. No, that's it. But it's. I guess they had their own agenda. They want their voice to be heard. And you guys know me all the time. I'm big on balance. So, if they want to get their voice heard and they want to bring it however they want to bring it, they're welcome to do it.
How did the testimonies go? How did they go? Were they good? Not good? Did you hear anything?
All I heard is they were angry. That's the best way I could put it. They were angry. They were demanding change. They were demanding defunding the police completely, like abolishing the police.
Abolishing the police?
Well, defunding them completely to them not existing. Okay. I think that's a little...
What do you think, Trish?
No, not the best resolution. Not completely. I don't think so. Not at all.
I'm big on reallocating funds, maybe tasers and rubber bullets, but and funding like liaisons and different things like that. Again, I just don't think it makes sense to abolish them completely.
I think when you talk about abolishment of police, a lot of times you got to look at who's asking for the abolishment of the police. Because if you go in certain, I grew up in Hochelaga, Maisonneuve, Saint Michel, Montreal North. You could talk to some citizens there, especially some mothers and fathers, older generation. You tell them there ain't gonna be no police ever.
Wow.
They would probably be not okay with this. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm for defunding all the way, like aggressively. But I want to touch on something before we move away from King Sheffield. Mm-hmm. I want to touch on the fact that Sheffield is most likely a victim of generational trauma in this.
Mm-hmm.
I think we don't talk about the generational trauma caused by slavery.
Mm.
And I also read that King Sheffield was going through financial issues.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
He was literally stricken by poverty.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are quick to have these war on drugs, these war on gang violence, but where are the wars on poverty?
Thank you.
Why are our politicians so corrupted that they cannot fight hard to tackle poverty? And like Malcolm X said, there is no capitalism without slavery.
Mm.
Capitalism is a product of slavery, and you could do the vice versa analogy if you want. So if we understand this, this is dangerous because King Sheffield is then a double victim.
Mm.
Right.
He has mental health based on the generational trauma passed down in his bloodline, and this generational trauma on top of capitalism literally bringing him down into a poverty kind of situation has taken this man away. So we need to wake the F up.
Talk about
as black people. We need to fight capitalism in an aggressive way. We need to practice what I like to call conscious capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, do not let them fool you and bamboozle you about, oh yeah, but you were not a slave and I never was a slave owner. Shut your mouth.
Exactly. Yeah.
Somebody brings that up, shut your mouth. Tell them to shut their pie hole.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be very, very, you know?
Yeah, yeah, morning. Yeah. Morning. Yeah, so, I appreciate that.
So may he rest in forever power, Sheffield Matthews. Prayers go to the family. And next time, people, if you're going to have marches, be inclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Include the whole community. You don't like me, don't like Pharaoh, don't like Trish. It don't matter. Mm-hmm. It's not about you.
Thank
it's
you.
Not about your black ass. Mm-hmm. This is about a man that died at the end of absolutely systemic racism, bigotry, and capitalism. Mm. So next time, try to be a bit more inclusive, because I learned about it like 24 hours before it happened.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's it. And so so we had the memorial on the Saturday. Big shout out to Kenny Esta from the Earth Center. She brought it to us, so we collaborated. So it was OFC as well as Kenny Esta. It was exceptional. Big shout out to the community. We did it over Facebook, well, Zoom, and then broadcasted on Facebook. So we had people join us. We had Audley Coley, Jerry Alexander. People gave awesome speeches. We had an amazing song sung. It was the energy was just exceptional. The spirit led. You know what I mean? So it was something that it was necessary, you know, and we wanted to make it known that this is something like the family wasn't involved in, because we understand that they're still grieving, but as a community we're responsible to our brother, and it's, and we have to do that to acknowledge the loss of our brother, and also as spiritualists as well we have to acknowledge the transcendence of the spirit. So these are things that we found it was super important to get done. So again, we're grateful to the community. You guys can check it out on our page, The Empower Hour on Facebook. We've shared it on our page and you guys could definitely check it out. So that's what happened this past weekend. Also, I want to give a shout out, just remembering our boy Bob White, November 4th. He passed away,
Bobby.
You know, 2016, mm-hmm. At the age of 81. And I have to acknowledge him, just because he had called me one time, and he's like, yeah, you're doing this community stuff. It's a waste of time.
Oh.
What?
Like direct?
He told it to you raw like this? Came,
yo, Bob White, everybody who
no
knows.
No foreplay, nothing?
He, it was one of our first conversations. I didn't even know who the man was
the
officially.
Just I'm so saying, you guys I'm know.
He hit me with the super real. So he came with it, bam, just dropped it on. I was like, okay. But unlike a lot of these people, quote unquote, people mm-hmm. in the community, who's like to criticize at times, but don't come with any solution, he came with beer solutions after. He's
gotcha.
Like, look. He's like, the reason I'm telling you that, he's like, because you need to be more economically focused. Second what Till he just said, second what the OFC does, like economically empowering our community. So he's like, look, what you're gonna do, he's like, you're gonna start fundraising. He's like, you're going to connect with George Grant from Bassard Bagel. You're
shout out to him, George.
Big shout out. You're gonna ask him to sponsor bagels for you. You're gonna take those bagels and then you're gonna go to community centers, and you're gonna go to churches, and you're gonna sell them. He's like, and you're going to continue to do that. And you're going to branch out people and send people to different churches all over the place and selling bagels. He's
that's
like,
a definition of hustling.
That's what's
people
that.
In our community yeah. think hustling yo. Is selling drugs. Hustling nah. is flipping a dollar.
Thank you.
Yep. So ultimately.
Big shout out. Big shout out for everybody who didn't know. Definitely, you want to pull up some of the community contact archives so that you can see some of Bob White's amazing, amazing articles.
Shout out to Bob.
Go, Bob.
Take care, Bob.
Go, Bob. All right. So, my turn. Okay, anyways. So I'm going to lift it up a little bit. So now we're going to shout out some Black Girl Magic. Some Black Girl Magic. Prix de la Danse Montréal awarded to Ethel Bruno, artist and educator,
hey.
As 2020 Laureate. So do you guys know who Ethel Bruno is?
No idea. But
give her a clap anyway, because I got to tell you guys who she is.
Yep.
So if you don't know, affectionately nicknamed Miss Swing and the Queen of Dancing, Ethel Bruno has an outstanding career as an artist and teacher, performer, choreographer, and teacher for 70 years, you guys, 70 years. Mm. She is 35 years older than me. Okay, this multi-talented figure is dedicated with passion and excellence to her art. She embodies a luminous, committed, and inspiring artistic approach, whether on stage alongside the greatest artists of her generation, but also in the studio with thousands of students of all ages to this day, whom she passes on her love and knowledge of tap dancing. Throughout her career, she has influenced generations of amateur and professional dancers and has made Montreal a major top dance destination. Ethel Bruno has made dance history in Quebec, and we are very grateful and proud that this Harlem-born artist chose to settle, perform, and teach in Montreal in the 1950s. Mm. You guys know how to tap dance?
Negative. I do not. I my parents used to want me to take classes.
I used to
want
to know how to tap dance because they used to do it on Sesame Street.
Good point. I know.
Next up, we have filmmaker Henry Pardo, creator of Woo! Black Wealth Matters. Mm-hmm. Hey, he's releasing
Black Wealth Media, actually.
Mm,
oh, okay.
You.
Cool, yeah. Cool. Okay, thank you for correcting me. Mm-hmm. Releasing a Carnival, a project supported by Netflix and the Canadian Film Center. That's
Netflix?
Really, Netflix, Netflix. Now, Netflix is hard to get onto, so mm-hmm. good for him.
So you're telling me we're going to be able to Netflix and chill on black content
absolutely.
From Canada, from Montreal?
Absolutely. We're going to be able awesome. To do that. I guess we're just waiting for the date and stuff like that, mm-hmm. but I am looking forward to that.
Shout out to Henri.
Yes, Henri.
So big shout out Alvina Ryan. She has released a book, I Pray on Purpose, B because.
That's the title?
Yay. That's the title,
G. I like that.
I love this title.
Prayers for faith, hope, victory, and deliverance.
Ooh. Shout out to that title. I pray on purpose because. Thank you. I love that.
So Beth, you guys definitely want to check it out. Support our sister. You can go onto the website, thedevangroup.com. Definitely just search the book. I pray on purpose because.
Hey.
Period.
Alvina Ryan, and I have to say, I have to big her up because she's very dedicated. She's been in the community, just pushing and just doing her thing. And so, anyway, she's a really cool sister, and I want to just encourage her, and I encourage you guys to check it out. And we'll plug it on our page as well, so you guys can definitely check it out there for shiz.
Yep.
We have two more things. So, Trish, you want to do the 221 million? Well, you know, and the thing is, we've been working on the 221 million. It's not like it's brand new news, but at least the link is out now.
I mean, it's out. Hold on, let me get that for you guys. So basically, Black Entrepreneurship Program, it is available on the government website. So basically, it is called the BEP, excuse me. Yep. It's a partnership between the government of Canada and the private sector with an investment of up to 221 million over 4 years. It will help Black Canadian businesses, owners, and entrepreneurs grow and succeed.
Yep. And make sure, guys, you stay tuned. There's going to be announcements coming up. There's a lot of developing in that sense. It will not, okay, it will not be grants. A lot of people are sliding in my DMs asking me, is it grants?
They
is it grants?
Loans.
Those are loans.
You have to pay it back.
Correct. The loans will most likely look like the CEBA loan. Currently, the CEBA loan is $25 billion that was made available by the Trudeau administration for the first wave of COVID. They're about to extend it to the second wave. The problem is Black entrepreneurs were not getting access to these loans. Mm-hmm. And I hope we get time to get into why, because I have some insights on this. But a lot of people have been fighting hard for this, and the $221 million will be mainly loans of 0% all the way up to we do not know yet kind of percentage.
So they haven't determined that yet.
Nope, 25,000 minimum all the way to 250,000. Then there are talks, I cannot confirm or infirm, but there will be micro loans as well. So we're looking at $5,000 to $10,000 loans, which should be approved extremely fast. So make sure your financial statements are up to par, your business structure is up to par, your credit. There's no way you're going to be able to fix it in time, but the good news is they will be flexible.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
I have confirmation regarding this. Credit history will not be such a huge factor regarding the program. That is one of the key things that we've been fighting for.
Yeah, that's pretty lit. I'm not mad at it. Some people are upset with getting loans, but if you think about it, a lot of businesses start with loans.
And that's it.
All businesses.
That's it. The work is make sure your business